East of England by Eamon Griffin. Dan Matlock stepped out into the real world again. Somewhere behind him, the guard who had opened the door shouted, "See you soon," but Matlock was already walking away from jail. There was no one waiting for him. Okay, then. He wasn't expecting Joe to be there, not really. But it might have been nice, would have made things simpler. Lindum County Hospital is opposite the city's prison. Matlock crossed the road without looking left or right. It was early. He'd have heard something if there was any traffic. The car park on the far side of the road was a third full. 6 to 2 workers, overnighting bedside vigilance, keen bean suits. Scant remnants of a hedge led to a muddy incline down to the tarmac. Matlock scanned till he found the right kind of car. Something old, something uncomplicated. A once red hatchback, its paint faded to a blush. No one around. Matlock put the bag with his belongings from the prison tight up to the driver's side window. He punched through the bag to quell the noise and to not get cut. The glass gave way like it wanted to. Matlock chucked the bag into the passenger front seat. He snapped the plastic trim away from under the steering column and found the right wires. Some tricks you never unlearn. The car coughed into life. The radio lit up, local news chatter. Okay? Deep breath. It had been 2 years since Matlock had sat behind the wheel of a motor. Last time he'd done so, he'd killed the wrong man. He swept away the worst of the glass into the passenger footwell, then wound what was left of the window right down. It had passed a glancing inspection. Matlock pulled off towards the car park exit. An early morning smoker, IV stand and dressing gown, lurked far enough from the sliding main doors to deter a Jobsworth coming out to grumble something about this being a smoke-free site. Matlock passed the patient, turned right towards the main road. He slowed to give way at the car park exit, even though there was no road traffic coming in either direction. He could turn right back to where it had all gone wrong, where it might be worse than ever, and waiting for him, fists balled. Or he could turn left, make his way through Lindum city centre, and be out of the country within half an hour, put the last 2 years and more behind him, family, lost loves, the lot of it, head west as if chased by the racing sun, make up a name, fall into something or other somewhere else, shed his old skin. Was that ever really an option? Matlock didn't indicate. Turned right. A recess between the front seats, loose change and the stubby roll ends of mints, 3, maybe 4 quid there in coins, enough for a coffee. There was a drive-in McDonald's on the way out of town. Most of a tank of fuel. He'd have to ditch the car sooner rather than later, but he wasn't going far. Less than 30 miles and just one stop on the way. 2, if you counted picking up the hot drink. Matlock pulled off the 158 onto a side road, then onto a farm track, tilled land on one side, thickish woodland on the other. He parked, got out of the car, bringing his coffee with him. A rummage in the glove compartment had yielded a screwdriver, the sort with multiple changeable ends fitted into the handle, the sort of tool an amateur would buy. Nevertheless, Matlock selected a flat blade and clicked it into the shaft of the driver. It locked into place with a satisfying magnetic pull. Matlock turned to the rear of the vehicle. He put the coffee down. He slipped the blade into the lock of the hatchback and gave a shove and a twist. The lock surrendered. He'd hoped for a toolbox, maybe a snow shovel, an ice scraper even. It was that time of year. Something to dig with. The boot space felt like it had scarcely ever been troubled. Clean carpet, a plastic tub of detergents and cloths, the distant tang of cleanliness. Matlock shut the boot and took the screwdriver and the coffee into the woods. It was still dark under the canopy. Matlock gave it a few minutes for his eyes to adjust. There was a path, marked occasionally with wooden signs for ramblers, that he followed for 50 yards or so. Twice there had been signs of activity, a stamped-out fire circle, a little clearing. The trees thereabouts garlanded with used condoms and cigarette ends. He carried on until he found the right spot, a turn into the thicker undergrowth. His secret stash, an insurance policy. Sometimes it pays to be cautious. An all but imperceptible bump in the ground. That was where Matlock started working, first with the screwdriver to loosen the compacted earth, then with his hands. It took less time to dig it up than it had to bury it in the first place. Matlock lifted it out, a freezer bag, the sort with a ziplock. Inside the bag, a metal tin. It had held toffees originally, some ill-advised holiday gift from a previous life. Still, the tin had turned out useful more than once. Deep breath. The container popped its lid undermanned. Another ziplock bag. The money was all there inside, just as it had been when he'd buried it. And under the money, the other thing. This Matlock slipped into a pocket without checking. Matlock had done his research and had chosen the denominations which had most recently been updated design-wise. This gave the notes the longest storage life possible. There was enough here to get started again. Not Caribbean island style, but enough. White sands weren't quite what Matlock had in mind. He poured away the last of the now cold coffee. He dropped the takeaway beaker into the hole he'd scraped out and kicked the mound of loose soil back over. He pressed the earth back into place with his shoe and headed back to the car. Safe in the vehicle, Matlock retrieved the unchecked packet. He unwrapped it. A revolver, a 38 Ruger Speed 6. The Ruger is a small firearm with a short barrel, designed for concealment, a backup gun, a throwdown. There were 5 live cartridges left. If it came to it, Matlock reckoned, 5 would be plenty. The A158 runs west to east from Lindum, bland agricultural land, commuter villages bisected by the main road, lay-bys with shipping containers converted into lock-up cafes. At Ragglesby, Matlock took the left-hand spur onto the A157. To stay on the main road would see him curve southwards through Bancaster, then diagonally across the wolds to the coast, to Skegthorpe, Skeg Vegas. The A157 keeps a truer course east. Matlock flipped the sun visor down. It was early enough to make driving into the sun a matter of squinting in places, where the road slalomed, sunlight spasmed through bare trees. A sign. Area of outstanding natural beauty. Not quite a national park, this bit of Lindenshire. Hills that roll, but land which is worked. High points are spattered with remnants of Cold War defence early warning installations and Iron Age hill forts. The Romans were here once. 1900 years later, the Royal Air Force. In between, Civil War skirmishes, rust and blood on the workmen's tools. The harvest demands its due. There to the right, the red dots of the aircraft warning lights on the county's tallest structure, Melmarsh Television Transmitter Mast. The road passed not far away. There was enough wind to let Matlock hear the support cables on the mast sing their metal song. The dashboard clock couldn't be read. The LED readouts had corrupted. Each line of every digit was as intermittent as its neighbour. 7-something, Matlock reckoned. He was making good enough time. A series of hamlets, a newspaper shop, a jumble of bikes outside, a boarded-up pub, an estate agent sign offering the opportunity to run your own establishment. 5 miles to the right, signs claimed, the county's racetrack, the Mini Nürburgring, Rushwell Park. Mostly bike meets, some vintage car stuff, track days. Matlock kept true east. Then he saw it, peeping over, then dipping under the horizon with the undulation of the road. St. Herefrith's Church. Lowth was only a few miles away. The last proper village before the town came up fast. The habitation proper was down the hill to the left, but here on the main road there was a bus stop, a brace of blocky houses, and a garage. There was a light on in the office. Matlock pulled in. The kind of place that still had pumps, but which didn't sell petrol anymore. A padlocked compound, pallets stacked high on the other side. Bought and sold, pallets wanted, all sizes. The car bumped over a hose. Once upon a time, it might have sounded a bell for service. Now it just lay there, a snake waiting for the sun. Matlock got out. It was colder here than in the city. No frost, but not far off it being cold enough. A degree or two over freezing. The office door opened. Mark hadn't changed much. Hair more salt than pepper, swept back into a loose ponytail. A perpetual week's worth of stubble. Rigger boots and overalls. He'd not be far off 60.
Back then?
Matlock nodded. Been anywhere nice? Not really. Mark pulled out a baccy tin, made himself a smoke, lit it, smoked.
Where'd you get the car?
Borrowed it.
Right.
Could do with a swap. Mark came up close. Oil and grease and tobacco smell. He grinned. He'd lost a few more teeth since Matlock had last seen him.
Pop the lid.
Matlock leaned in and found the lever. The bonnet quivered. Eventually, yeah, looks sound enough. Mark checked the steering column. Glanced at the number plates. I've got a van, he said.
Anything's good.
Worth a bit more than this, though, what with its provenance.
How much more?
A couple of hundred should do it. Matlock nodded. Mark took out a ring of keys. He unlocked the compound, left the gate open and disappeared into the pallets. A V of geese crossed the sky. A bus, double-decker, rumbled past, heading back towards Lindum. Condensation on the inside of the windows made it difficult to see how busy it was. An engine started up. It sounded distant. The compound went back further than it looked. Matlock took 200 from his stash, put another 100 in a pocket. The rest went into the bag from the prison. Matlock covered the possessions with clothes, made it look like a bag of laundry. A white transit-type van, nowhere near new but solid enough, birdshit on the windscreen. It'd been standing a while. Mark got out. 200, and it's yours. Matlock handed over the money. Mark swapped the cash for his baccy tin, rolled another smoke. You staying round, then?
Not sure yet.
Well, if you are, don't be causing no trouble.
As if.
Yeah, as if. Mark lit his fresh cig, thought about something, decided what to do with the thought. Got a phone call the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Big Christine.
Huh?
Said you might be passing through soon. Says if you need a job and somewhere to stay, it can be sorted.
Chris still in the usual place.
Usually.
I'll maybe drop in.
You do that.
Cheers.
Mark handed over a van key. Matlock put his bag in the cab, then got in. The van was musty. He wasn't sure if it was damp inside or just cold. The engine started first time. That was what was important. Matlock held a hand up. Thanks. Mark held up one in response. The nub of his cigarette glowed, then faded to grey. Matlock pulled out of the forecourt and back onto the road. The faraway noise of a phone ringing, too loud for a house phone. An extension through to a workshop. An additional bell so it could be heard from the forecourt. He checked the mirrors. Mark was standing there, watching the van drive away. The phone kept ringing. He stayed in the mirrors until Matlock cleared the road through the village. Then the road fell away towards the town Matlock hadn't been in since he'd killed